The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is 91.3 KUAF, your radio home for NPR news and NPR programs for more than 32 years. And this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. It is Flag Day. It was on this day in 1777 the Continental Congress adopted the American flag, though it is not the same flag flying today. There have been more than two dozen official versions of the flag. Most often, the changes have been to add another star or three or five after the addition of a new state or three or five. The current edition of our flag with 50 stars now holds the honor of longest tenured version. We've had 50 stars on the flag since July 4th, 1960. Almost every change in the American flag over time has become official on a July 4th. It has been customary for the new star or stars to be added on the July 4th after a state's admission to the Union. The lone exception was May 1st, 1795, when the stars increased from the original 13 to 15 to represent the addition of Kentucky and Vermont. And no, there is no accepted scholarship that actually gives Betsy Ross credit for the first flag. Frances Hopkinson, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, actually sought payment for the design from the Continental Congress, asking in a letter for a quarter cask of the public wine for his efforts. Ahead on this Flag Day edition of Ozarks, the Sunshine School in Rogers is seeking some financial relief to help repair damages suffered in spring flooding. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has that report just ahead. First, Arkansans have the option to renew driver's licenses for up to 8 years, something that can save money and time. But many Marshallese here, legally here as migrants, are discovering they can only renew their Arkansas driver's licenses annually. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, a state legislator is delving into the matter.
10 Marshallese men and women go over the rules of the road with instructor Lucy Capel, program manager with the Arkansas Coalition of Marshallese, headquartered at the Jones Center for Nonprofits in Springdale. Capel says that the driver's license classes are frequent and full. That's because more and more Marshallese are moving to Northwest Arkansas to work, educate their kids, and obtain health care. Under a compact of free association with the U.S., which operates a military base in the Marshall Islands, Marshallese are able to come and go with only a passport. But their Marshallese driver's licenses are not honored in the U.S., Capel says. To obtain an Arkansas driver's license, Marshallese must take 4 days of classes to start.
Yeah, 4 days. From Monday to Thursday, we take them down to the testing site on Friday. Yeah, they take the written test first, and after a month, they come back and take the driving skill.
Applicants, Capel says, must show valid passports with Visa and I-94 travel records and Arkansas identification cards. A Marshallese woman who asked to be identified only by her first name, Rotha, checked her wallet to see when her recently renewed driver's license will expire.
Yeah, mine is long. To the 2025.
So Rotha's license is good for 8 years, likely because she was able to show some sort of proof to the DMV regarding her length of stay in the United States. It's unclear, but she's hearing others are having to renew annually.
I think last month somebody was mentioning about it.
The one-year rule is apparently under wide discussion in the Arkansas Marshallese community. It's the result, apparently, of a U.S. Department of Homeland Security regulation known as Real ID. The rule is a coordinated effort by states and the federal government to improve the reliability and accuracy of state-issued identification documents to all immigrants to inhibit, the agency says, terrorists' ability to evade detection by using fraudulent identification. Evidently, requiring annual driver's license renewal is a recent development, Lucy Capel says. Republican State Representative Jeff Williams, District 89 Springdale, has been looking into the licensing issue. Williams advocates for the interests of Marshallese in his district.
Well, right. And most people don't understand the process that occurs. But whenever you go in to renew your license or to get a new license, part of the process that you go through is that all that information is submitted to the Department of Homeland Security, who looks at your status if you're not a legal citizen, if you're not a citizen of the United States. It looks at your status through the information that is, contained or held by the Department of Homeland Security, and they make a determination as to the length of the license that you're going to be, when that license is going to expire. In many cases, if you are a legally residing immigrant, you're going to have a license that's going to be limited to only 1 year in length. That's the case in certain immigrant populations, including the Marshallese community that we have such a large population of here in Springdale.
Representative Williams is investigating, he says, with help from Marshallese authorities and Arkansas's congressional delegation, to learn the reason for the one-year limit, as well as why freely associated migrants like the Marshallese must comply.
Begin to, in essence, to look into the possibility of extending that license from a 1 year to a multi-year license.
William says no timeline is in place given the complexities involved in dealing with a federal rule change.
We just know that the impact that it has on the Marshallese community for everything from their ability to be able to obtain financing for vehicles, concerns about employment issues and such. I mean, many employers are concerned about the length of time that someone may reside here in the United States, or banks may be concerned about being able to provide financing to someone when they only have a license of that in most cases expires within a year. There are there's a tremendous amount of impact on the community that many of us don't even think about.
The cost of renewing a driver's license annually can run $25. Longer issuances cost much less, saving drivers money. Some states reportedly, including Oregon, where an estimated 3,000 Marshallese live in the city of Salem, have found a way to extend driver's license registration to 8 years. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The fallout from flooding in April continues across Arkansas. In northwest Arkansas, the heavy rain damaged the Sunshine School and Development Center. The cleanup has left the nonprofit with a $7,000 bill that officials are hoping the public can help them pay. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
The Sunshine School and Development Center in Rogers provides several services, but events and communication coordinator Shelley Phillips says they're best known for their preschool program, which serves children from 18 months to 5 years old.
We do preschool for children with developmental and disabilities. We also serve children who are typically developing. We also have a community support service where we serve children and adults as well who have disabilities or delays. Those services we provide so many just depending on what each individual needs. Some individual might just need transportation. Some might need full round-the-clock care.
Serving those children became a little more difficult when heavy rains damaged four preschool classrooms. Phillips says they had to replace baseboards, carpets, rugs, and bookshelves.
Then we also had the process of just cleaning up and drying out in general. That takes a lot of money and effort as well. We did have a lot of volunteers come out and help us move things and clean up basic until we could get someone in here to do it professionally. But now we're kind of left with the bill for that. That's kind of where we're at now.
The cost of repairing the damage is $7,000. The nonprofit organization has created an online campaign in hopes the community will help raise money to cover the cleanup costs. Phillips says with many people gone for summer vacations, it's a difficult time of year to raise money. So if this doesn't work, they may have to explore other options.
We're going to see how this works. We're going to be closed. The school is closed the last week of June, the first week of July. So that also limits us just a little bit. We're closed for, that's kind of our summer break. So we may pick back up in July with some type of event.
For now, local residents can donate online until midnight Friday. To donate, you can visit firstgiving.com and search for the Sunshine School and Development Center. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ahead on today's Ozarks at Large, Friday night there will be awards handed out for creativity, all kinds of creativity, at the Black Apple Awards hosted by the Idle Class magazine.
We have a lot of categories this year. We have 30, which is more than we've ever done before. And we initially went with that amount because we didn't think we would actually be giving the awards out at an event. But here we are. It's a good way to pick out these unsung genres and artists and creatives and, you know, showcase them. So we have, you know, the body artists. We have comedy group. We have street artist, arts event. That's a new one we added this year.
From body art to beer. The Black Apple Awards preview is ahead on today's Ozarks at Large. 91.3 is supported by Malco Theaters and their fan page on Facebook. Fans receive direct movie information to their email inbox. On the web at facebook.com/Malco Theaters to join. The 2017 Riverfront Blues Festival is June 23rd and 24th at the Harry E. Kelly Park in downtown Fort Smith. Performers include Kenny Neal, The Cape Brothers, J.P. Soares and the Red Hots, Oreo Blue, Good Luck Slim, and more. Blankets and lawn chairs welcome. RiverfrontBluesFest.org for tickets. A small chance of rain is back in the forecast. The National Weather Service includes a 20% chance of showers or thunderstorms in northwest Arkansas tonight. Otherwise tonight, clouds and lows throughout the listening area from 70 to 75. Tomorrow, there is a region-wide 30% chance of rain. Highs tomorrow expected to be near 90 for northwest Arkansas, reaching around 96 in Fort Smith tomorrow. Heat index values as high as 104 tomorrow afternoon in the Arkansas River Valley. The 2017 edition of the Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count Book places Arkansas near the bottom of states when it comes to the economic well-being of children. The report was released yesterday, and Michael Hiblin, with our partner station KUAR in Little Rock, talked with Rich Huddleston, the executive director of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. Michael asked Rich Huddleston about the immediate takeaways from the new study.
Sure. A couple of key takeaways. One, as you mentioned, Arkansas still ranks among the worst states in overall child well-being, which is a compilation of kind of four key areas of economic well-being: education, health, and family and community, with an overall ranking of 45th. We're especially concerned that 27%, or more than 1 in 4 Arkansas children, about 188,000 Arkansas children, are still living in poverty. And that's still the case, even though Arkansas and the country as a whole has been in an economic recovery period the last few years. And I think the data is pretty clear that we still have a long way to go in making this is a state where every child has the resources and opportunities they need to really realize their full potential. I think the second key takeaway is that Arkansas dropped from 36th to 47th in economic well-being, which is one of the key categories in the report. Ordinarily, we're more concerned about long-term trends in the report than whether our rankings go up or down a few spots relative to other states. But I think when your ranking in an important category like economic well-being drops 11 spots over 1 year, like this one did, that really merits our attention. And I think we really have to ask ourselves, you know, in terms of the types of jobs that are being created, I think it's clear that that still many jobs in the state really don't pay enough to lift families out of poverty and meet the basic needs of their children.
Any indicators or suggestions that your group has of how to improve things?
Sure. First and foremost, Arkansas policymakers really need to acknowledge the child poverty issue. It's a problem that impacts all of us, not just the families living in poverty. And I think policymakers really need to stop blaming the poor a trend that was really evident in much of the punitive legislation that was introduced during the last state legislative session. And I think we clearly need policymakers who are willing to tackle child poverty head on and who are really more concerned about enacting public policy based on what the research and data says is good for kids. But I think kind of more specifically in terms of policies, I think Arkansas really needs to get off of this tax cut craze that we've been on in the last three legislative sessions. This year, and then also next year already, we've cut the budget, and that really limits our ability to make the investments in our kids that are really critical. We also need to make the investments in kids that we know will improve their ability over the long term to go out and get those better jobs that will pay better wages. And so starting that early on and investing in high-quality pre-K, high-quality after-school and summer programs, making sure that kids are in the classroom, and quite frankly, just making sure that every child can read at grade level by the end of the third grade. And then, of course, I think we need to acknowledge that there are going to be those kids who have already been impacted by poverty in their families. And so kids who are really at the most vulnerable point in their lives, who are either in the state child welfare system for abused and neglected kids or kids who are in the juvenile justice system, I mean, we have to do more in those systems to really give those kids hope for the future, because they're in a point in their lives where they're really just in very difficult situations. I think the last thing I would add is that we have something pending on the horizon now that could really be detrimental to the economic prospects for kids in terms of the healthcare changes that are being proposed in D.C. and also the federal budget cuts that are being proposed. Both of those could have devastating impact for Arkansas children and families, and we're really encouraging our federal policymakers to resist those proposals.
Yeah, and you said that one of the few bright spots was the high percentage in this report of children who do have health insurance right now.
Yes, Arkansas has reduced its rate of uninsured kids down to 5%. Which, if you consider where we were a couple of decades ago before we had Our Kids First, Arkansas had uninsured rates of closer to 1 in 4 kids. And so we've made amazing progress over the last couple of decades. And some of the proposals being talked about in D.C. in terms of getting rid of the Affordable Care Act, block granting Medicaid, I mean, really could limit the ability of Arkansas to continue that amazing progress we've made around health care coverage.
Rich Huddleston is the executive director of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, and he talked yesterday with Michael Hiblin from our partner station, KUAR in Little Rock, about the 2017 edition of the Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count book. The new report places Arkansas near the bottom of all states when it comes to the economic well-being of children.
I'm Robin Young. The Trump administration is expected to announce changes to the ongoing relationship between the U.S. and Cuba ahead of President Trump's trip to Florida on Friday. On the chopping block could be travel options for Americans, partnerships between U.S. companies and the Cuban military, and fewer cigars coming to our shores. We'll take a look next time, here and now.
Today from 1 to 3 on 91.3. This is Ozarks at Large. For the past few months, we've spent some time examining matters of diversity and cohesion once a month with our partner, Engage NWA. Issues like age, race, faith, and other characteristics that might make us different from each other. This month, we touch just a bit on a subject that we have in common, health. Later this month, Engage NWA is sponsoring a summit on men's health at the Jones Center in Springdale. The summit, Saturday the 24th from 9 to 1, is open to all men 18 and older and includes screenings and lunch. One of the partners for the summit is the Urban League of the State of Arkansas. Ken Wade is the executive director of the Urban League of the State of Arkansas. He says the Urban League has made it a goal to participate in multiple health fairs across Arkansas.
But we never thought about singling out any particular sex. And I thought it was interesting to look at doing it for males, because we are a group of people who don't like to go to the doctor every time our body says to us that we do.
Ken Wade recently talked with Terry Bankston, Executive Director of Engage NWA and me, about why the Urban League sees a responsibility for fostering discussions about health. I asked both of them, as organizers of a men's health summit, if men are reluctant to seek medical attention, how do you get men to spend a few hours on a Saturday at the Jones Center talking about their health?
There's a couple of ways. One of the ways in which Terry and I talked about that evening we met, it's on a Saturday, so that eliminates the barrier of I have to be at work for the majority. Then secondly, we said, you know, we need to entice and offer an enticement of some kind for men to at least come by and check it out. So we're doing two things. One, lunch is provided for all who attend. And that's just not the men, but the wives or the significant other who bring their men to this event. And then secondly, Terry is planning three or four health-related breakout sessions. You know, it's one thing to walk by tables and get an organization's little pennant, but we want this health fair to be really educational to those in attendance. So the second real carrot, of course, is publicizing it with the right group of men.
Terry, what kind of breakout sessions are planned?
Well, we're going to talk. One is about prostate cancer. The second one is going to be around the mindfulness, which is the stress piece, how to relieve stress through meditation and that piece. And then the third one, we're up in the air about what's going to happen with that. It's either going to be something around healthy eating and how to make a good meal, or an exercise piece. And so I think we're the executive chef from one of the hotels here wants to do a conversation on healthy eating. But also we're working with one of the hospitals that has a weight management program to talk about how to look at labels and what to think about when you go into the store, going to restaurants and eating. So there'll be, you know, about 25-minute, 30-minute sessions and a chance to do some question and answer.
I want to throw this question to both of you. I mean, Engage NWA, the Urban League, involved in many ways to make life better for many people. Health is a basic one, but it's one we don't always talk about. What is the value in all of us knowing more about our health?
It's the mission of the Urban League of the state of Arkansas is to change lives in a positive direction. We are an organization that advocate on behalf of the unserved and the underserved. And our four program areas, of which health and wellness is one of them, we're advocating for the elimination of health disparities. And one of the ways in which you can do that is informing people, not just men, but people, period, about the importance of checking and monitoring your health. We live in a world now where people are living to be in their 80s, in their 90s. I was just talking yesterday to an individual, and we were talking about being 82, and we didn't even consider that being old anymore. So this fits right into our mission.
You know, so many conversations we're having in the community is around this whole cohesion and inclusiveness, and we've had those discussions on the air. But what we won't talk about is how to keep people here, not just living here, but actually living here. And we have found that with all the different diseases and things that are going around, that the conversations that we don't have a lot, which we should all have in common, is health and being able to be active and just look at some of the small things that they could do, because when you look at it, you really want both parents to be around for their kids and their grandkids. And this is one of the things that we're trying to do. So we are encouraging wives and girlfriends and daughters and nieces to bring their uncles and dads and grandfathers to, you know, come over to the Jones Center on the 24th so that they can at least have some kind of conversation about or share. There's a gentleman that's going to give a testimony about having colon rectal cancer and how he has survived that and the things he had to go through, but and how he did it.
One of the presenters scheduled to be at the Men's Health Summit this month is Abby Suddeth, Education Program Specialist with Hope Cancer Resources. The organization has many roles, but she says something like the upcoming summit helps spread the word about prevention, screening, and healthy living. She says for men in the United States, the most common diagnoses of cancer are prostate, colon, lung, and skin cancer.
Skin cancer right now is the only cancer in that list that I brought up that the rates are still continuing to climb as far as the number and the prevalence that we see. For Caucasian men, that number is, you know, steadily increasing. For African American and Hispanic men, we are seeing that decline. Typically for skin cancer, we see in those groups is going to be a spontaneous melanoma, and that's something that's really only going to be caught when we go in for a skin screening. For Caucasian men, it's going to be more of our basal cell or squamous cell carcinomas, which are more jarring kind of skin cancer lesions that we might notice maybe on our face or our hands. And so the screening for that is very simple. We need to go in for an annual skin check. That's the recommendation right now. And a lot of the time for the male population, we're not typically going to see them seeking preventive measures. It's more, you know, once it reaches a point where they need to be seen by a doctor, it's becoming a more immediate threat or they're noticing something that's gone wrong. So we really need to try to turn the tables on that and emphasize the importance of prevention, being seen regularly by our doctors, understanding what are the good recommendations for when we need to start those screenings. And definitely, we're seeing now more with certain insurances. Those are covered under wellness visits or screenings might be covered. At Hope Cancer Resources, we have a program that can pay for those screenings if your deductible's too high or you don't have insurance, which is an excellent service that we have.
How do people find out about that?
They definitely need to go to our website at hopecancerresources.org, but this is a free service that we provide to uninsured and underinsured individuals in the Northwest Arkansas area.
I've lived in Amsterdam for a little while, and I know that their lifestyle is a lot different than here. They eat different. They exercise not just on a regular basis, calling it exercise. They walk and they bicycle.
It's their transportation.
It's their transportation. Yeah. They're doing things. So is that a good comparison to what happens here in the States?
And I'm not 100% familiar on, you know, global statistics on cancer prevention or this, you know, just its occurrence. But sedentary lifestyle that we adopt here, we drive everywhere most of the time, or we're sitting at a desk 8 hours a day. That is a huge contributor. Healthy living includes, you know, being active, eating healthy, fresh foods. I know I spent a large period of time in Europe, and their diet is extremely different than what we do here in Northwest Arkansas.
I did not know that one of the things Hope Cancer Resources did was offer help for people who had too high deductibles or perhaps were uninsured to get screens. What else? I mean, it's multifaceted what the organization does.
Definitely. And I was trying to think of the most eloquent way to put this, but we really hit, you know, at every aspect of the cancer diagnosis. So pre-diagnosis, that's where I work in, is the prevention, getting into schools and businesses and talking about, you know, those healthy lifestyles that we can adopt to lessen our chances of developing cancer, or trying to inform everyone on those screenings. So because early detection is the best way to get it treated quickly and increase our chances of survivorship. Then we step into the actual diagnosed area where we provide counseling for patients and their families, one-on-one or in group settings. financial aspects include prescription assistance, paying for auxiliary bills, so not your medical bills exactly, but maybe your phone bill or your mortgage or your water bill, transportation. So we can provide gas cards. As gas prices are rising in the summer, it's hard to get to and from transportation every single day for 6 weeks. Or maybe some people don't have a car and they live far away, and getting, you know, to Northwest Arkansas or Bentonville or Fayetteville is hard. So we have vans that are running constantly, getting people to and from treatment. Spanish interpretation. The list really goes on, and we try to, you know, help people in any way we can. If we don't provide the specific service that they're requiring, patient navigation is a huge aspect where we help them get those services. And then moving on to survivorship, which really is a continuum that starts from the day of diagnosis. You are considered a survivor as long as you're living. And so now we've started a new program, our wellness program. And so we're trying to help people find their new normal, figuring out what is, you know, the lifestyle that we need to be living now. How can I exercise regularly, and what is going to be my correct diet and a good stress reduction routine for us? So now we've welcomed survivors and their caregivers in for this program, anywhere from nutrition intervention, personal training, yoga classes, which is a restorative therapy. The list really goes on and on. It's quite amazing.
Abby Suddeth is Education Program Specialist with Hope Cancer Research, and she visited the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio earlier this week in conjunction with the upcoming Men's Health Summit at the Jones Center in Springdale on June 24th. Terry Bankston, the Executive Director of Engage NWA, and I had one more conversation related to the summit with Alex Hurd, Senior Director for Health and Wellness Transformation at Walmart. Walmart is a partner with Engage NWA for the Health Summit. Alex says being a large retailer and a large employer can give Walmart a chance to reach tens of thousands or more with information about preventative health measures through events like the company-wide Wellness Day that takes place Saturday.
The Walmart Wellness Day is essentially a program where we offer free blood pressure, glucose, BMI, and vision screenings to all our customers, free of charge. And it's actually occurring this Saturday nationally from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we've now run five of these in the past. We've done millions of screenings. And just this last January, we did almost 350,000 screenings over a four-hour period. And it's just, you know, it's a great service that we can offer our customers and our associates. And, you know, there's some amazing stories that have come out of that we've received and feedback that we've been given from our customers. For example, there was a husband and wife that who came into the store. The husband went for a screening, and the numbers seemed off slightly. And so he proceeded to make an appointment with his primary care provider for further screenings. Well, it turned out that he had early stage cancer, but because they detected it early enough, they were able to treat, and he was fine. And so, you know, that really speaks to kind of what we're trying to do here, offer a great free service and connect customers to products and services and solutions that can help them live a healthier life.
If nothing else, getting people to be aware, men especially, of the importance of screenings, and looking forward to healthy lifestyles with healthy habits.
Yeah, Terry, look, you know, getting a screening is a personal choice, right? For me as a father of four young children, it's about getting checked regularly and, you know, knowing my numbers so I can be there for my kids' soccer games or their gymnastic meets or, you know, helping them with their homework or, you know, one day, you know, walk down the aisle with them. And, you know, I'm proud that we're able to offer you know, a service where we, you know, for free screenings across all of our stores through this Wellness Day platform. And, you know, this June 17th upcoming event is very special. You know, it's the Saturday before Father's Day, and what a great opportunity for all of us to, you know, to give kind of our fathers or awareness around around this free screening opportunity.
Alex Hurd is Senior Director for Health and Wellness Transformation at Walmart and talked with us yesterday about Walmart Wellness Day, scheduled nationally for Saturday. Walmart is a partner with Engage NWA for a men's health summit at the Jones Center in Springdale, scheduled to take place June 24th. You can learn more about that health summit at EngageNWA.com. This is Ozarks at Large. On the next Fresh Air,
please welcome Seth Meyers.
We broadcast Terry's onstage interview with Seth Meyers, host of Late Night with Seth Meyers, former head writer for Saturday Night Live, and host of the news parody Weekend Update. His interview was part of our 30th anniversary celebration. Join us. Fresh Air, twice every weekday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Tyson Foods is confirming one of the people shot in Alexandria, Virginia today works in the Tyson, Washington, D.C. office. Matt Micah, Director of Government Relations for the Tyson Foods D.C. office, was taken to a local hospital this morning after the shooting. About an hour ago, an official Tyson statement reported the company was waiting for further word on his condition and that company officials are deeply concerned for him and his family. Today's shooting raises the question of how much protection is needed for public officials. Governor Asa Hutchinson said at a press conference this morning he hopes it never gets to the point where security is needed for all members of Congress or elected officials.
That's not the relationship that we want. But it really does emphasize the continued need for different layers of security in our society, not just for the public officials, but for the public in general. And law enforcement do an incredible job, illustrated whether it's a dangerous stop that's made in Newport, Arkansas, or whether it's responding to an attack on a congressman in Alexandria, Virginia.
Governor Hutchinson is referring to the shooting death of Lieutenant Patrick Weatherford, a Newport police officer killed in the line of duty Monday. Governor Hutchinson is ordering the state flag of Arkansas to be flown at half staff in tribute to the memory of Lieutenant Weatherford. The flag is to remain at half staff until Lieutenant Weatherford's internment. The United States Marshals Museum is cutting the expected cost of the project dramatically. Yesterday, officials with the museum revealed new renderings for the facility, which is scheduled to open in September 2019. The new designs cut the cost by more than half. The projected $33.5 million price tag is now reduced to $16.5 million. Museum officials say the reductions have been achieved through design and construction modifications. Patrick Weeks, the president and CEO of the Marshals Museum, says the implementation of a few design modifications will also save costs for future operations. Construction is scheduled to begin next spring. Voters in three cities in northwest Arkansas are giving approval to sales tax questions to help fund a variety of proposed improvements. In Eureka Springs yesterday, voters passed a 1/8 sales tax to pay for improvements to Lake Leatherwood. According to the city, the tourist tax, which amounts to $1.25 for every $1,000 spent, will be used to dredge the lake to improve swimming and fishing, maintain the impoundment's historic hand-cut stone dam, as well as other improvements. Voters in Greenland approved sales and use tax and bond issue questions yesterday. Only 55 people voted in that special election. And also yesterday in Farmington, proposals for a 1% sales and use tax and questions to issue bonds for street and park improvements also passed. The deadline to apply for Bella Vista's new Advertising and Promotion Commission is fast approaching. The commission is made up of 7 total members, 4 representatives from tourism-related businesses within the city limits, 2 members of the city council or 1 city council member and the mayor, and 1 resident at large. At least 3 of the 4 business owners or managers should be from lodging establishments or restaurants. Commissioners are appointed by the city council. The deadline to apply is Friday. The Hearst Foundations have made a $150,000 gift to the Engineering Career Awareness Program, or ECAP, in the College of Engineering at the University of Arkansas. The contribution will support Campaign Arkansas and provide scholarship assistance for ECAP students through the Hearst Foundation's Diversity in Engineering Scholarship. It is a recruitment to graduation diversity initiative started in 2007. Designed to increase the number of underrepresented students with financial need in engineering disciplines. Since the initiative was created, there's been a 286% increase in enrollment of ethnic minority undergraduate engineering students, and the college has nearly tripled the number of female students over the past 5 years. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Cody Ford, who is putting together the Black Apple Awards. Don't tell me, Cody. Let me get see if I can get the nomenclature correct. The Black Apple Showcase event.
Actually, it's just the Black Apple Awards now. It was the showcase,
okay.
And then we had to postpone it, so we are going to be giving the awards out themselves.
So the actual awards will be given out.
Yeah.
Let's back up and tell people what the Black Apple Awards celebrate. It's creativity and then some.
The Black Apple Awards have been around for 3 years, and it's by my publication, the Idle Class Magazine. And, you know, a lot of magazines do their best of, and, you know, sometimes that's like best dry cleaner or best barbecue joint or whatever. And that's fine, and they all have their place, but we want to do something to showcase creatives. And so we have this is our 3rd year, and we have done an award show the first year. We did just a showcase the next year. And then this year, we're going to give out the awards again during it. So what you can expect during the Black Apple Awards is we're going to have music, we're going to have comedy, we're going to have poetry, we're going to have some vendors there, some people live screen printing t-shirts. We will have an artist out of Little Rock named Michael Schaefer will be live painting. We are going to have even a circus performance, a Silks performance going on by Nimbus Circus. One of the things we're doing differently this year is it is an inclusive event with your ticket price. In the past, it's been where, you know, there was like a cash bar or whatever. We will have complimentary beer, wine, and for VIP ticket holders, they get hors d'oeuvres. And, you know, with the craft beer and the food, that's going to be organizations that were nominated. So it's a great way to taste some things if you've never had them.
And that's part of the creativity of Northwest Arkansas too, right? Culinary and libation.
Oh, absolutely. You know, culinary, that was a pretty good-sized chunk of nominees this year. I think visual arts had the most, but then performing arts and then culinary is kind of how I divided it.
Everything from people who create art on other people's bodies, to people who create music, to people who create words.
We have a lot of categories this year. We have 30, which is more than we've ever done before. And we initially went with that amount because we didn't think we would actually be giving the awards out at an event. But here we are. It's a good way to pick out these unsung genres and artists and creatives and, you know, showcase them. So we have, you know, the body artists. We have a comedy group. We have street artists, arts event. That's a new one we added this year. So it's just... it really covers the gamut of the arts in Arkansas, and these nominees are from all around the state. So we're very excited to have people coming into town to party with us on Friday.
If you win a Black Apple, it's an honor. But what I like about the Black Apples, too, now 3 years into existence, you don't take yourself too seriously.
We try to have fun with it, for sure. You know, this isn't the Grammys or the Oscars or anything. So, yeah, we like to cut up, and you know, we do funny videos to promote it and things like that. So yeah, we always try and have a sense of humor. I mean, the magazine is called The Idol Class. You know, what can you expect?
There's going to be a pretty good view at this party.
The view at the party is going to be fantastic. We are on the top level of the parking deck at the Dixon Building. And you know, for just in layman's terms, the Waffle House building. I don't know if they'd want us billing it as that, but you know, you got to let the people know where we're at, because there has been some confusion since there are a few other parking decks on Dixon Street. So we're going to be down across from UARC Bowl behind the Dixon Building. Top level, just come on up there. We'll have signs and balloons and things like that to kind of lead you through the maze to get up to the top.
This is in conjunction, of course, with the Idol Class magazine.
Yes, so Black Apple Awards, you know, they are brought to you by our publication, the Idol Class magazine. And the event itself, we will be giving part of the proceeds to the New Design School, who do a lot of great work in Northwest Arkansas.
Should give a shout out to some of my colleagues here at KUAF who are nominated for Best Radio Program, the KUAF Vinyl Hour, Of Note with Katie Hendrickson, and Sunday Night Service.
Oh, yeah, the three here at KUAF. Yeah. So the radio one to me is a really fun category to have, because, I mean, I'm sure there are radio awards that you all compete for and everything, but locally there's not. I mean, I've never even seen that on like a best of list with other publications. So, and there's so much creativity that goes into what you all do. So, yeah, it seemed fun. We also have over at KXUA, there were two programs from there, Driving Speaker Box and Plastic Magic Hour with Filthy Phil as well.
The late lamented Plastic Magic Hour.
He had his swan song recently. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, and then we had 3B Radio here in town, plus some down in Little Rock and I think Hot Springs. So, yeah, it's fun to honor radio a little bit, too.
How do people attend Friday night's event?
Go to idolclassmag.com/blackapple2017, and there will be a link that you can go to and get tickets.
30 categories this year. More next year?
I think we're going to keep it at 30 or less for next year. We may just stick to 30.
Okay. Thank you, Cody. Cody Ford is with the Idol Class magazine. The magazine is sponsoring Friday night's Black Apple Awards. Our conversation recorded yesterday in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. This is Ozarks at Large.
President Trump wants to cut Medicaid by hundreds of billions of dollars, and that could end many support services for the disabled.
Many of our people really need some help with just the everyday skills of cooking and cleaning and doing the things that everyone else does to be able to live independently.
I'm Ari Shapiro. Wisconsin braces for changes to Medicaid this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 3 to 6 on 91.3. This is Ozarks at Large. At 10 o'clock Saturday morning at the Shiloh Museum in Springdale, historical reenactor Doug Kidd will explore a soldier's life during World War I. The program is part of the museum's third Saturday series for families. You can find out more at shilohmuseum.org. Saturday night, the Museum of Native American History in Bentonville will host a screening of She Sings to the Stars, taking place on the museum lawn. The film tells the story of a Native American grandmother who lives alone in the desert. Her grandson dreams of making it big, but his plans change when he visits Mabel's home to collect traditional dolls he hopes to sell for a high price. The screening Saturday night begins at 8:30. Tuesday, the Rogers Historical Museum will continue its Evenings on the Lawn series with fly fishing lessons. Participants can learn about fly fishing and how to tie a fly lure. The Evenings on the Lawn series, scheduled from 4 until 6 o'clock Tuesday evenings in June and July. The Fort Smith Museum of Regional Art will host an opening reception for artist Carlos Luna. Cleverly combining aspects of Cuban, Mexican, and American cultures, Luna creates a new language in his work illustrating universal themes such as passion, humor, and conflict. The exhibit features more than 30 pieces that include mixed media on wood, oil on canvas, and large-scale tapestries. The opening reception is scheduled for 5 to 7 p.m. That's June 22nd. Admission $5 for the public. If you're a member of the Fort Smith Museum of Regional Art, it's free. And also next Thursday, the Siloam Springs Museum will host Walls Talk, Historic Home Tour. The event begins at 6:30 Thursday evening, and that's the 22nd, by the way, and includes hors d'oeuvres, desserts, drinks, the unveiling of the museum's renovation plans, and a home tour of Gloria McEnroe's house, which is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Admission, $45 per person, $80 for two people. Guests are asked to RSVP by Friday.
KUAF is supported by contributing listeners and by contributors who have left planned gifts to this station. This is Lee Wood, KUAF's membership director. A planned gift in a will, annuity, or living trust to KUAF ensures that our programming will be here for generations to come. To learn more about how you can leave a legacy to future generations of KUAF listeners, visit KUAF.com/leave-legacy.
An 18-member delegation from the Arkansas Citizens Climate Lobby traveled to Washington, D.C. this week to press members of the Arkansas Congressional Delegation to support carbon pricing policies. Chris McNamara, state coordinator for Arkansas, says the reception from conservative lawmakers was warm.
Senator Bozeman always takes time to meet with us and always lends his ear and definitely makes sure to connect with us on a personal level. Senator Cotton also was able to briefly meet with us, and we continue to have good dialogue with the senator. We just got out of Congressman Crawford's office and are talking about reducing methane emissions from with farmers, and are interested in hosting some sort of regional meeting where we can get together to discuss this issue with farmers. Congressman Hill's office, Congressman Westerman's office, Congressman Womack's office, we're very receptive.
Arkansas Citizens Climate Lobby is working to convince federal and state lawmakers to pass carbon fee and dividend policies to place a per-ton fee on carbon dioxide emissions.
We'd start at $15 per ton and rise steadily every year by $10 per ton. We take the revenues from that fee and distribute it back to American citizens and households equally across the nation. So it's revenue neutral. No money goes to the government, so it's not really a tax. So by placing the fee, we incentivize businesses to transition to clean sources of fuel, and we protect the pocketbooks of American citizens.
Arkansas Citizens Climate Lobby also attended the 8th Annual Citizens Climate International Conference and Lobby Day, also earlier this week. A service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Springdale. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. We'll end today's edition of Ozarks at Large with music from the Ozark Highballers. This is their performance inside the Carver Center for Public Radio of my Ozark mountain home. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.